Let us turn our Bible to our text for this morning's message, Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. Matthew chapter 26, and I'll read for us verse 36 to 46. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them asleep again, and for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. May the Lord bless us in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O Lord God, how we thank thee for this Lord's day that we can come unto thee in holy worship. And Lord, even to receive the instruction from thy holy word. We ask of thee, Lord, to still our hearts and to know that thou art God. Even as we come before thy throne of grace, may thou, Lord, instruct us by thy Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to understand thy truth. Create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit as we turn to your holy pages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. And on this day, during the New Testament time, the Lord Jesus Christ entered triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. And he was greeted by the people with loud cheers. Yes, they received him singing Hosanna to the highest. And with branches, they laid them on the path in which the Lord trod on an ass. And they waved the palm at him, welcoming him with much gladness and joy. They were greeting the Lord Jesus Christ as their king, as a king of Israel, as a king of the Jews. But sad to say that this jubilant celebration did not last for long. Soon in the days that followed, the crowd was gone. And the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by all. And even his disciples left him, they forsook him. And the Lord was left all alone to struggle and to suffer in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And after which he was betrayed and went through 6 trials before earthly kings and was finally crucified on that rugged cross, that cruel cross, on Good Friday. From our text, we note that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in extreme agony in the Garden of Gethsemane when he pleaded with the Father before he went to the cross. And we saw that he pleaded with the Father 3 times. And elsewhere, it's recorded for us that his sweat was as drops of blood. falling to the ground. Truly, it was not easy for the Lord himself to go through such pain and agony and rejection by the people. He certainly did struggle. In his humanity, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And so he can suffer, like you and me, do suffer pain and rejection and sadness at times. The Lord Jesus Christ went through the suffering even as he struggled with the cup which the Father had him to drink. The cup refers to the cup of affliction which the Lord had to undergo. It was a bitter cup of great passion, pain and agony that our Lord God, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, had to drink for you and me. The Lord was to suffer the humiliation of the cross. He was to suffer and to die to save sinners. Sinners like us, from wrathful judgment of God the Father. And if we compare the records of all the three evangelists concerning the Lord Jesus, how he pleaded with God the Father, in our text in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, there the Lord prayed, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But the Lord did not stop at there. He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, the Lord Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And the third evangelist, Luke, in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, there the Lord Jesus prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Yes, the Lord Jesus in his humanity prayed very earnestly in agony for the cup to be taken away. Surely it was too much painful and sorrowful for him to take the cup. In his own strength, he will not be able to take it. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing. Yes, the stress here is nevertheless, he was ready to submit to the will of God the Father, to drink of that cup, to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for you and me. And after the Lord's cry in the garden, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, led some men, and he came with them to capture the Lord Jesus. And there Peter, as usual, very hastily, took up his sword and cut off the right ear of the servant of the Most High Priest. And it's recorded for us in John chapter 18, verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put away thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it?" Yes, though it was a difficult cup for the Lord to drink, but yet he was willing to obey the Father's will, willing to do so because of you and me. But still, it was not easy. The Lord had done many great miracles in calming the seas in his ministry thus far and healing the sick and raising the dead unto life again. But this thing about having to suffer and finally to die according to the Father's will is a greater thing for him to do, or perhaps the greatest, which the Lord had chosen to do willingly for you and me. It was to fulfill God's plan of salvation for sinners like us. And this plan of salvation was already installed and announced right at the very beginning. We read in Genesis chapter 3:15. The Lord was most willing, though he knew that, yes, his heel was to be bruised by Satan. He He was ready to be broken and to be used of God to bring salvation to sinful mankind, to souls bound for eternal condemnation. Many of us may be ready to do any service unto the Lord. When we are called to do so, in the church, yes, when we approach to serve the Lord in this ministry or that ministry, we may be so willing to do so. But how many of us would be prepared to obey and to surrender to God's will to drink the cup of suffering? For one to accept the cup, the Lord must have also given him great faith and grace in order to be willing to yield to God's will for him to suffer. He will have to trust completely in God, that the Lord is ultimately the one who is in control of all our lives. Dear friends, if the Lord were to give you a cup of adversity, a cup of suffering, a cup of pain to drink, would you be prepared to drink it, just like our Lord Jesus Christ himself? God the Father gave him this cup. Yes, he was pleading that if it be possible, it will be removed from him. But nevertheless, he was willing because of you and me. Dear friends, if you are given such a cup of pain, would you be ready to drink? Would we be ready to say to God the Father, not my will, but thine be done? Dear friends, there are many, many things that do happen to us in our lives and to our loved ones as we live our life here on earth. How are we taking them? How are we looking at these problems and difficulties and troubles that we do face in life? Would you be ready to accept any termination of your great aspirations or desires or plans that you have, or whatever hope or for some purpose that you have to do in life? Oftentimes, do we not read of very sad stories in the papers of people, how they lamented that their loved ones had died, and sometimes very sudden, and they'll lament that, you know, he or she would have been married in a few months' time. He or she would have been graduated from some institution. He or she would have been going for some long holidays, some vacation, or would be graduating and getting promoted soon in his job. And now these things suddenly happen to him. What a sad thing. But all those aspirations, desires, plans, hopes were all terminated all in a single moment, suddenly like that. Would we be ready to accept such kind of situation that happened in our life? Would you be ready to bear a daily burden and see not relief for a period of time? You may be carrying a burden and every day you have to bear with it, but you do not see relief in the days ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead. Would you be ready to carry such a burden? Would you be ready to be made poor and be devoid of all your riches and gains? Those who have been blessed with riches, with wealth, with gains in life, would you be ready if one day you are made poor and you become as nothing? Would you be ready to be able to say like God, fearing Job, who had lost everything in a single day, and yet he could say, naked came I, and naked shall I go unto the Lord? Would you be ready to be made poor, though you may desire only to live an ordinary lifestyle? Yes, some of us may be living an ordinary lifestyle. We don't have great riches, and we only long for this. But still, even in God's will, he allow us to become poor. Would we be ready to be poor like this? Would you be ready to accept a life which the Lord gives you nothing at all? Like Job, who did not fear God for all things that he was given. He was given nothing, but it was not because of... He feared God, but it was not because of things that the Lord gave to him. He was prepared even to live a life with nothing at all. Would you be ready? Would you or your loved ones be ready if found with some incurable physical disability or even a terminal illness? Would you be ready to take it when you are stripped bare of your loved ones and to stand all alone, to go through life and the aftershocks in life? Would you be ready to accept it when your child, your only child whom you love so much, is afflicted and maybe even taken away? Like Abraham, whom the Lord asked to offer his only begotten son whom he loved. What will you say to all these happenings if they were to really happen to your life and to your loved ones? Would we be able to say to them all like what the Lord said? The cup my father had given me, shall I not drink it? Once at a school for the deaf, I brought my daughter Faith there for an assessment when she was taught of not being able to hear. So we brought her there to consult the physiotherapist there. And I saw in the School of the Deaf a very encouraging poem. And it was nicely framed up and put up on a wall. And the poem is about God looking for a couple whom the Lord God would want to assign a child who is impaired of hearing, for them to take care of that child for the rest of their life, so that they may be able to trust not in themselves, but to look up to the Lord God Almighty, to trust in God, to know how to take care of that special child. Dear friends, will you be ready, if you're to see this poem, to be that chosen parents, to be given a child who has to depend upon you for the rest of your life? Or would you plead with the Lord, "Oh Lord, please, don't choose us. We are weak and surely we are not able." Would we be ready to say to the Lord Jesus, "The cup which my Father had given, shall I not drink it?" This account of the Lord struggling with the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane is very close to our hearts, that is my wife and myself. Especially when we were going through some struggle, when we were told by the gynecologist that our fourth child, Faith, was not doing well in the womb. Yes, she was just about to be born in 2 weeks' time. And my wife went for her checkup, and a doctor came out of the room and told her that very bad news. Yes, something has terribly gone wrong. Her brain was not growing. The child's brain was not growing. Her head was flooded with water because of some blood clot. And so the brain was highly compressed and not growing. In fact, it was disintegrating. And we were told that we had two choices. One was to leave the baby in the womb and to let it disintegrate by herself. The other was to take her out quickly. But if you do that, then she will be living like a vegetable with tubes running all over. So truly, there wasn't too much choice for us. It was a painful struggle, really, to decide what to do. And my wife cried the whole night, that night when we went home. And as for me, I prayed unto the Lord for mercy. Oh Lord, please be merciful unto us. Please take the baby home. Let her not be born at all. We were not prepared to drink the cup which the Lord God would want to give us. But God's will was that she should be born. Yes, it was God's will to give us that cup still. And that was when the real struggle started. In the hospital, after the baby was born and went through her first operation to release the pressure in the brain, my wife had to stay with her at KK. And while she was reading the Bible, doing her quiet time, and somehow the Lord gave her this passage about how the Lord himself struggled, that the Lord, that God the Father may remove this cup of suffering. And she just could not help it but to keep on pondering over the words, "The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it?" Then after some time of praying and pondering over, my wife humbly pleaded with the Lord, "But Lord, we did not ask for this. We did not ask to drink of this cup. We did not ask to be willing to do your will in this regard. And moreover, we are not the same as you, O Lord. You are God. You are God and you are God Almighty. But we are all just sinful creatures. But thou art the Son of God. We are so full of weaknesses. We are not ready to take such cup of suffering. So please, Lord, unlike you, do not let us drink of this cup." Yes, we pondered and we wondered, and wondering what the purpose was for the Father to give us the bitter cup. How could we have the will and the strength to drink of this cup of passion? Although we had no answer then, but we still know that the Lord God, surely he must have a purpose in giving us our fourth child in such a manner, in this state. The question is, are we prepared to drink the cup the Father gives? Yes, are we ready to say, "Dear Lord, not my will, but thine be done"? Dear brethren, it may be that the Lord has chosen some of you here and to give you a cup of adversity to drink. And you are still struggling with it and wanting to know what is God's purpose for choosing you to give you that cup of passion. Will we not look at it this way? That in all our circumstances or experiences in life, yes, whether joyous or adverse, whether favorable or unfavorable, we can liken them to a cup or even cups which the Lord God presents to us to drink. And of course, that cup may be a cup of prosperity or a cup of adversity. If it is a cup of prosperity, all of us will be most willing to accept it from the Lord. But if it is a cup of adversity, what will we do? Will we be able to say, "Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord"? Nevertheless, let us take heed of Paul's exhortation. Yes, we may receive such cups in life, but we thank God that the Lord God has given us Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Very encouraging verse. "There had no temptation taken you such as is common to men, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." At times we may feel that we are tested, and we are specially tested, that God has chosen us to go through this test, this trial, that we may be the only one in the world, it seems. But Well, we thank God that in God's eyes, the test that we go through is a common test, common for all of God's children. Yes, and He makes sure that the trial that we go through will not be impossible for us to bear it, to cope with it. He may send a trial, but He will also package it with a way of escape for us to be relieved. There's no testing too difficult for us to endure. That's what it is. Yes, our God is faithful. And so we can therefore take comfort in our Lord God Almighty that He does not afflict without sympathy. God does send affliction to us. And at times it's good for us that we may come back to Him if we have gone astray from Him. But the Lord God does not send affliction without sympathy. He is a loving God, and truly we have a sympathizing God. All because, why? Because we have a suffering Savior. Because we have a Savior who has gone through it all. A Savior who Himself had drunk of that cup and willingly did it for you and me. Imagine the Son of God who became the Son of Man to be despised and to be rejected of men, acquainted with grief and to bear all our sorrows and all our grief, to be smitten and afflicted of God, to be wounded for our transgressions, to be bruised for our iniquities, so that He is able to have a true heart's feeling for all our sufferings. Of course, to save us from our sins, but He is able, by going through all these sufferings, to be able to empathize with us, to understand us, to have a heart's feeling for all our sufferings. And in the same way, even as our Lord God has gone through this so that He can understand us, we who go through sufferings and trials may be prepared of the Lord to help us also to understand others, so that we will be able to show sympathy to our fellow men. And indeed it is so. Our ability of showing sympathy to our fellow men is measured by how much a price we pay for our afflictions. One who would be a helper must first be a sufferer. One who would sympathize with someone else must have first suffered upon His own cross. And so our Lord Himself, He did drink of that cup in order that He will fully understand you and me, our sufferings, our pains, our infirmities. So just the same, if we will truly be of help to others in times of suffering, we must ourselves have also taken of that cup which the Lord gives to us. So if God the Father in His own goodwill has chosen to give you a cup of sufferings, dear friends, to drink, would you not be thankful that He is planning to use you for a great blessing to others later on? Yes, if you do like to look at it this way, then the Lord God truly will have much grace from Him to drink of this cup of suffering. Are we not blessed by the testimonies and works which are the results of those who have gone through many trials and testings in life? Are we not blessed by the witness of many of such people, for example, like that of Job, how he suffered the loss of all things and his children? And yet he could yield his life to the Lord, saying, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is not the only incident in the Bible that is recorded for us, for our comfort. There's also the Psalms of David. And we notice that the Psalms of David, they are most comforting. Why? Because David himself had gone through a lot of sufferings and pains. Yes, he was so pressed very hard in life by sufferings so that he could pen all those beautiful Psalms for our comfort and assurance today. And the Apostle Paul, if the Apostle Paul had not gone through the suffering of having the thorn in his flesh. We will not be able to learn many wonderful lessons from his many wonderful and beautiful epistles on humility, on fear, and how that we may look up to the Lord God and to trust in him. And for an example nearer to our heart, I can think of a testimony of our pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh. Yes, those who know him can affirm that he was a man who had gone through various testings in life, surely. And he had not drunk just only from one cup, but several cups of suffering, many cups which the Father gave him. And truly that has made him a pastor who is able to empathize, not just to sympathize, but to empathize with his flock. And my wife never forgets Reverend Toh's touching love and care when we went through the struggle that we had with our little faith, our child faith. Yes, when we first heard of the condition of faith at the clinic, we thank God that by his providence, no doubt we were shattered when we came out of the clinic and did not really know what to do. But somehow in God's providence, there was Jemima, or Mrs. Koo. She happened to be there at the clinic. And she asked my wife, what happened? And we shared with her. And she asked whether if she could share with her father, Reverend Toh, our plight. And sure, we were glad, yes, that she may share and to pray for us. And truly, lo and behold, on that evening when we went back, the phone rang. And when my wife picked it up, it was Reverend Toh, our pastor. And on the phone, right there, she prayed with my wife. Truly, it was a much comfort for us. And subsequently, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we were so well ministered unto. As far as we are concerned, it seems that the Lord God has chosen him to, our pastor Reverend Toh, to lift up our souls. And there were many hymns that were chosen and sung during worship service. Hymns like, My Jesus, as thou wilt, I don't know about tomorrow. His eye is on a sparrow. And indeed, here is a pastor who has touched my many sorrows by God's will in his own life so that he could empathize with those who sorrow. So, dear brethren, whatever circumstances of suffering that you may be facing now, no matter how hard the situations in life may be, yes, regardless of the loads or the care that are pressing upon you, let us realize that it is the Lord's wisdom and it is the Lord's doing, and it is the best tool in the Father's hand which he uses to chisel us for his purpose. Do not push it away, that instrument. Yes, though it may cause great pain and suffering while the Lord is chiseling you, but let him carry on the work till completion. Lest he has not finished the work he's doing in you, and then you cannot be used of him for the purpose that he has planned to use you for his honor, for his glory, to use you that you may turn out to be someone who may have that empathizing love for others who may be in need later on, whom you may encounter in life. Someone who needs consolation from you. So let us rather, when we go through pain and suffering, learn to humble ourselves before the Lord and be prepared to yield to God's will, to suffer for the sake of obeying God. And this will help us not only that we may be of use of God to bless others, but we ourselves will also grow spiritually and be strengthened greatly. Because great faith is nurtured and exhibited not so much in any other ways than by the ability to suffer if the Lord so will. And indeed, this is a blessing. A blessing to suffer afflictions from the Lord. Therefore, do not ask the Lord that he should remove the thorn in the flesh, the pain and the suffering, now that we learn from the Apostle Paul. But rather ask the Lord for grace sufficient to cope with the thorn in the flesh, to cope with all the trials and difficulties in life. The great Apostle Paul, God's chosen vessel, blessed with wisdom and intelligence, but the Lord God chose to give him a thorn in the flesh. And it is God's wisdom. A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he be lifted above measure. But it is by his bruise that we today are comforted by these words of the Lord, because the Apostle Paul was bruised by the thorn in the flesh, and therefore we have these comforting words from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the steadfast faith of the Apostle as he testifies this, most clearly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What a blessed assurance. And all this is because Paul was given the cup to drink, and he drank it willingly, and he could pen this word. The Lord God, by his Spirit, inspired him to write these words for you and me today, that we may be blessed too. Do we not see how at times, yes, when the Lord gives us to drink of that cup, he also gives us grace enough to drink it. It is not just that cup, but also it comes with grace, sufficient grace. The Lord may allow us to be broken, but it is for a purpose, that he will use us for the encouragement of others and all for his glory. So, dear friends, do not be dismayed when you are broken. Think of it. God has a purpose in breaking you for his sake and also for others. There are many great, great Christians who have been broken for others' sakes. And Christ is building his kingdom on with us broken things. Men of the world, they only want only strong and successful people, victorious and unbroken in building their kingdoms. But our Lord God, he's a God of the unsuccessful. He's a God of those who failed. And indeed, heaven is filling with earth's broken lives. And there is no bruised reed that Christ cannot take and restore to glorious blessedness and beauty. He can take a life that is crushed by pain and sorrow and to make it into a harp that will be able to play music, beautiful music, all to the praise of his name and all to the blessing of others. The Lord God can lift earth's saddest failure up to heaven's glory. And that was what the Lord Jesus went through. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was broken. He was bruised for our transgressions. He went to the cross. His heel was bruised by Satan. He suffered in agony. He was crucified. He bled and he died on that cruel cross for you and me. But praise the Lord, he rose again, victoriously, conquering death to give us eternal life. The Lord was broken, but it is all for God's glory to rise again, and it is all to redeem God's chosen people to be God's very own, to reconcile us with God the Father. And the Lord was prepared for it all. He was willing. He was ready to drink of that cup which the Father gave. Of course, he did have to suffer with extreme agony, but still he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. So may God help us to be able to readily say, like the Lord, the cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it? May God grant us sufficient grace as we seek to yield our lives to His holy will for us, whatever it may be. It may be a cup of prosperity, or it may be a cup of adversity. May God help us to be able to say, not my will, but thine be done. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O Lord God, how we seek thee, Lord, even to help us. Even, Lord, as we live our life here on earth, there'll be times, Lord, when we will have to face adversity, afflictions, many troubles and trials. But, O God, how we thank thee for the comfort of your holy word. Lord, even for our Lord himself, who has gone through it all the sufferings that we do go through, the Lord himself has suffered for us. And so he is able to empathize with us and to understand us fully. Lord, we pray that you will help us to bear the burden, even by thy grace that thou hast given to us, and increase our faith, Lord, and trust in thee. O Lord, even to be used of thee, to bless others also. So, Lord, help us, even as we come, Lord, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to be drawn close again unto thee. Lord, even to be cleansed of all our sins by thy precious blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.